Hiranohashi 243. Be obedient and kind to thy father and mother. Abdu'l-Bahá. What mankind needeth in this day is obedience unto them that are in authority, and a faithful adherence to the court of wisdom. Baha'u'llah. The four older children were in the tatami room, sitting on the floor playing sari at the kotatsu, a low table.
Ha! I landed on your piece, so that sends you home, yelled Riaz. Sorry, he added mockingly as he tossed her piece back to the beginning. No, I don't want to go back, and you can't make me. It's not fair, Shala said, grabbing back her piece and putting it on the square again. Within seconds, Riaz and Shala were in a tug of war with the piece, toppling the rest of the pieces from around the board, while Asma and Mona yelled at both of them. Suddenly, the children were surprised to hear two loud claps. They looked around to see Mother, who had just come in with little Anissa to watch the game and had seen the chaos.
What is this? It looks more like a war than a game, said Mother.
The children started explaining to Mother what had happened. Mother listened quietly, nodding her head, and finally she said, smiling,
This is a very good lesson. Now you can all see very clearly the importance of obedience.
The children all looked at her in surprise. It was the last thing they expected her to say. What did obedience have to do with Shala not putting her piece home?
With every game, began Mother, before it starts, everyone decides on the rules. This is true of board games, sports, or even video games. And if everyone doesn't obey the rules, no one can play the game, as you see very clearly before you.
The children were all looking at the mess the sorry board had become, with all the pieces scattered.
Obedience is a most important virtue, continued Mother. Without it, we can't be protected from harming ourselves, and we can seriously harm society and the people around us.
If obedience is a virtue, said Riaz, it's my least favorite.
Mona quickly responded, We all know that, Riaz, and everyone laughed.
Think about a small child just learning how to walk, Mother continued. When he tries to touch something that will hurt him or put something dirty into his mouth, his mother tells him, No. At first, the mother stops the child by grabbing his hand, but after the child grows, she just says no, and slowly, by reward and punishment, teaches the baby to obey her words. The more he obeys her, the more protected he is. As the child grows, the mother continues teaching the child what can harm him and teaching him how to obey her. So the child is protected from things like getting run over by a car, drowning, and all the other dangers that surround us every day of our lives. As the child gets older and older and is more alone in the big wide world, he is still protected by his obedience to teachers, policemen, doctors, and other grown-ups.
Mother looked again at Riaz. Mona looked again at Riaz with a funny look on her face and said,
Riaz, how have you managed to survive all these years?
Everyone laughed. Only by the grace of God, I think, sighed Mother.
Now, Shala, think about traffic lights. If people said, I don't want to stop at that red light and you can't make me,
what do you suppose would happen? Everyone looked at Shala and she said in a quiet voice,
I guess there would be a lot of car wrecks.
Duh, said Riaz as he rolled his eyes. Shala responded by sticking out her tongue.
So, we have to have everyone obey the traffic laws, or else no one would be able to use the roads. How would we go anywhere without being killed? But the virtue of obedience needs to be learned as a child. You can't suddenly start being obedient when you grow up. So that's why there are people who steal things, right? Said Shala. If everyone had learned to be obedient as a child, nothing would ever get stolen.
All the children thought that sounded like a great idea.
Mother continued, it is the same with all the laws of a country. What peaceful, prosperous countries we would live in if everyone were obedient. Also, all the different countries of the world need to obey the international laws so that our planet can be safe and clean.
Is that why we have wars? Asked Asma. Because people aren't obeying international laws?
Well, yes, said Mother. Almost all the problems we have in this world are because either the rules or laws haven't been decided upon for the whole world yet, or the people and countries are not obeying them.
If countries and people were obedient, the world's water and air wouldn't be polluted, said Mona, as she'd been studying ecology in school that week.
Yeah, all the children nodded in agreement. Mother thought a moment and said, there is even a higher and more important level of obedience. Can you think of what it could be?
The children all looked at each other, thinking, and finally Asma said, God, we have to obey God's laws.
Yes, agreed Mother. A government can make laws about how we act, but they can't do anything about how we feel. God's laws teach us to feel kindness and love for every person in the world. And if we obey those laws, we will of course do nothing that would harm anyone. There are lots of times when countries or businesses or people aren't actually breaking any laws, but they are still treating people badly. You can hurt someone just by the way you look at them, and it isn't against the law. If everyone in the world understood God's laws and felt the importance of obeying them, there would be no hunger or wars, and we would all have a wonderful planet to live on.
So, said Mother, smiling, how do the people of the world know what God's laws are?
Little Anissa raised her hand and shouted, I know, I know. Everyone laughed. Okay, Anissa, what's the answer?
By the teachers from God. The manifestations of God, she said proudly.
Everyone clapped their hands.
Yes, Anissa, manifestations of God, the great teachers. Like
Buddha, Krishna, Christ, Muhammad, the Bab, Baha'u'llah.
The children all shouted different names at once.
By obeying their teachings of love, kindness, compassion, and obedience, the world gets better and better, Mother explained.
And, put in Mona, acting very grown up, God is always watching us and sees if we don't obey, even if no one else does.
That's a scary thought, said Riaz, and everyone laughed.
Mother smiled and said, why don't we try that game again? Does everyone agree to obey the rules?
Yes, they all shouted
as they set up the game again. And Mother and Anissa sat down to watch them play.
O peoples of the world, know assuredly that my commandments are the lamps of my loving providence among my servants, and the keys of my mercy for my creatures. Baha'u'llah.
Birth of Baha'u'llah. In the beginning of time, God made a promise. He said that he would never leave us alone, but would always help and guide us. God kept his promise, and from time to time he sent messages to the world. Moses came, and Krishna, Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad. These holy messengers of God also gave a promise that one day two great ones would come to make the whole world a wonderful place to live in. In the early 1800s, in every country, people were waiting for these two promised ones. Many people had dreams about that wondrous day that would soon to come. The trouble was that most of them did not understand how it would happen. They should have known, because God always sends his messengers in the same way, like everyone else. They are born into the world as little babies. However, although the messengers of God are born into the world just like you and me, they are very, very special because they shine with the light of God. And when we love and obey them, it is the same as loving and obeying God. Some people know when a messenger of God is born, even without hearing about it. Although most of us do not know until we are told, there were some holy men in Persia who knew when the promised ones were born. The names of the promised ones were the Bab and Baha'u'llah. The story of the Bab we will tell another time. This story is about Baha'u'llah. In the land of Persia was a rich king who lived in a palace. Many important people worked for the king, and they too lived in grand houses and were rich. One of these important people was a good man who, although he had a lot of money, was generous to the poor people, and there was much happiness among the people who lived in his village and in his farms. Early one morning on 12th November 1817, a baby boy was born to this good man and his wife. At that very moment, in another part of Persia, a man called Haji Hassan was praying. The sun was just beginning to climb into the sky when he bowed down to the ground, saying over and over again, "God is most great, God is most great." Then he turned and said to a young man watching him, that at that very hour, the light of the Promised One was shining into the world. Baha'u'llah had been born. At the same time, Sheikh Ahmad was a holy man sent by God to prepare the hearts and minds of the people so that they would know the Promised One when he came. It was because of the teachings of Sheikh Ahmad that Haji Hussein had known the Promised One was coming. Sheikh Ahmad also knew that Baha'u'llah had been born, and he prayed that one day everyone in the world would find this hidden treasure of God. Baha'u'llah is indeed a treasure more precious than gold, because when people turn to him, they become rich with goodness, love, happiness, and peace. And however much gold you have, you can never buy those things. The good man and his wife loved the baby boy very much. They did not know that their son was the promised one, but they knew that there was something special about him. His father dreamt that he saw Baha'u'llah swimming in a huge ocean. His body shone like a light upon the waters, and his long black hair floated around his head. Many fish were attracted by the light shining from him, and they gathered around his head, holding only each hair. But although there were so many, Baha'u'llah was able to swim quite freely wherever he wished. Baha'u'llah's father asked a wise man to tell him the meaning of this dream, and he was told that the sea was this world, and Baha'u'llah would become king of the whole world, loved and obeyed by all people, even though at first many would try to stop him. As Baha'u'llah grew older, it was plain that for everyone to see,
that he knew things that no one else knew. He did not go to school, but understood more than any teacher. He was very clever and wise. One day, the king of Persia asked Baha'u'llah's father for a lot of money which he could not pay. Even though he was only 7 years old, Baha'u'llah went to the king and explained so well how his father could not pay so much that the king realized that he had been unfair. Although he was brought up surrounded with fine things and important people, Baha'u'llah preferred to spend his time in the woods and countryside, praying to God and helping the poor. And so Baha'u'llah quietly grew up, only a few people knowing that he was the glory of God on the earth, until the day came when it was time for everyone to know. I bear witness that he who hath known thee hath known God, and he who hath attained into thy presence hath attained into the presence of God. Great therefore is the blessedness of him who hath believed in thee.